Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit come forward to be our guide and teacher this morning, Heavenly Father, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this, your word, and to give us a greater understanding of thy word, Father, so that we can grow in faith and walk straighter and stronger with our Savior and Lord. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, this is actually the first book of the New Testament. I know your Bibles as well as mine tells us that Matthew is the beginning of the New Testament. It's not. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four Gospels. And they are before the New Testament. You see, the New Testament is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what gives the New Testament its authority and its power. Now, there's no one really identified here as the author of Luke. But the Bible gives us this. He's speaking here about the former treaties in the first verse. And my Bible gives that the former treaties must refer to Luke's gospel. Both books were written to an otherwise unknown Theophilus. And Theophilus probably was a Roman official, since Luke designated him as a most excellent Theophilus. The Greek term is used only three other times in the New Testament, and each of these is used to address a Roman official. Felix, and Festus in the books of Acts. Luke continues the ministry of Christ that he began in his gospel. Christ's ministry in Acts is carried on by his Spirit through his disciples. All right. That's, you know, that's just about all as far as identifying the author. But we do know it is Luke's style. And Luke traveled an awful lot with Paul. Well, let's go to verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, too, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now there, too, he's letting us know that before Jesus was taking up to heaven, that he did teach and give commandments unto the apostles or his disciples, those that he had chosen. 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible fruits, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now you see, he's telling us here that after Jesus' resurrection, he was with his disciples for 40 days. And then he went to heaven. The church age had not yet started because he had left commandment for them to do something else. And that went on for another 10 days. So actually, we're 50 days from the date of his resurrection until really the starting of the church age and the things that was to change would change on that day. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You see, letting them know that within a few days, they are going to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? 7. And he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times are the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. In other words, just the Father knows the answer to what you're asking. 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Because you see, man back then may not have known where all what all was going to become of this, but Jesus did. He knew that it would be into our days. He knew even who was going to be here. We didn't, but he did. Now, 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Letting them know, as he had told them before, he is coming back. And we can count on that. But as we go deeper into the New Testament, we'll also find out that he's coming even before his second coming back to earth. Because you see, when he comes to the church, he's not going to come all the way back to the earth. He's going to come on a cloud and call us out of the earth, and we're going to meet him there in the air. Now, 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. And these, 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, The number of names together were about 120. It's not just 12 there. There's 120 there. Now, 16. Men and brethren, this is Peter talking. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. 17. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. He was a part of this ministry. Now, and yet, see, he betrayed. When Satan entered into him, he gave in and done, really, as Jesus said he would do. Now, which was no surprise because, for one, like I said, Jesus knew everything. And that's why he chose Judas, because he knew what he would do. 18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, In other words, with that reward he got for betraying Jesus and falling headlong, he busts asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. He hung himself, but in doing so, evidently he fell a long way before the rope tightened, broke his neck, and then these other things took place. 19. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue Asheldama, which is to say, the field of blood. Now, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. Well, we know that they did get another one to take his place. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, 22, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now, you see, he's explaining a whole lot here about the happenings. 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias, 24. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. You see, they've got these two to pick from to take Judas's place. And now they're asking God to make the choice. Now, 25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Well, we know where that would be, but anyway. 26. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now we've got a Matthew and a Matthias among the apostles. All right, we've come to the end now of chapter 1. We're going to be going into chapter 2. Chapter 2 is one of my favorite chapters of the book of Acts. I like them all because there's an awful lot in the book of Acts for us to know and to understand. But here is the beginning of the church age we find here in chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, you see, they got this mighty rushing wind. Now, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Now, you see, a lot will teach you that actually the Holy Spirit began with just 12. No, it didn't. It began with 120 or thereabouts. But it was sent back to earth for all mankind. But it started with this 120. Now, it set upon each of them. 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? 9. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, in Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, Paragai, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, and Arabians, we do all hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? They're doubting again, see? But they are wondering, What meaneth this? 13. Others mockingly said, These men are full of new wine. In other words, they were saying they were drunk. 14. This is what really brings our attention to chapter 2, starting here with 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, you know, the thing here, a lot of our churches has used those two verses to okay women becoming pastors of a church. They use this word prophesy to say, you see, he says that they shall prophesy, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So that gives them the right to become a pastor. No, it doesn't. But the word prophesy means to share. Look it up. Now, it means to share, and they are to speak and talk with others and to share the gospel of God. They are not to do so in the church. And we'll be getting into those just a little later in our study of the New Testament. Well, you see, God tells us what we are and what we are not supposed to do. Now, 19. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no might, no maybe. It says shall be saved. Now, 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. You see, he's beginning to preach here, not just to share and to speak, but he's beginning to preach. 24. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He said, you kill him. These are the very people that back 50 days before he was hiding from and denying even knowing Jesus. But now listen to the way he's talking to them. You see, the Holy Spirit is where we get our boldness from. Now, you see, Peter's already been filled with the Holy Spirit here. This is what's brought about all this change to him. 24. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. 25. For David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Are you letting things of this world move you, or anything else move you except the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are, you better change. Now, 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. there is a joy and a rest. And even when Satan will bring things against us, we can still have that joy and peace within. Now, 27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Now, 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and walking with him can fill you and I full of joy. Think about that. And the peace that we need within in order to be that child of the living God and to do and perform the things that he will ask of us to do and to perform. Now, 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. You see, he wasn't his father or nothing, but Christ did come from that bloodline because his mother was of the bloodline of David. Now, 31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. He says all of us are witnesses to the fact that he has risen. 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. He said, that's what you're seeing, that promise of God, that promise of the Holy Ghost. 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. 35, until I make thy foes thy footstool. In other words, the enemies he'll make as his footstools. 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now I want you to remember this verse, 37th verse. Well, actually the rest of the verses of chapter 2, but this will do. 37 here. When he had finished his preaching now, here in 37, says, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, repent means that one changes their mind. And here, as throughout Scripture, one aspect of conversion is commonly used to represent all aspects, believing and calling as well as repenting. The grammatical name for allowing part of something to represent the whole is called I can't say that name. Anyway, repentance is something every person must do. There's no way out. For several reasons, be baptized should not be joined with for the remission of sins. To teach baptismal regeneration. First, the context of this passage demonstrates that only the repentance is connected with the removal of sin at salvation. Whosoever shall call shall be saved. Now, Peter's next recorded sermon states only repent that your sins may be blotted out. Second, throughout Acts, men demonstrate their faith in salvation prior to baptism. Third, you see, actually, baptism is for you and I to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be finding that a little further down the road too. Because if you want to go there before we get there, you'll find that in the sixth chapter of Romans, the next book we'll be into. Tells us what baptism is all about, what it does for us. Now, For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. That generation is full of evil, just as we find our generation today. 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. In the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 saved that day through his preaching. 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They were already using the power of the Holy Spirit in their ministry here. Now, 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They all sold everything, and then they divided it between them as each had need. Now, 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They attended daily. You see, they didn't close their church, and they didn't pick days like Sunday and Wednesday and let the rest of the days go. The early church met daily. We find it written. Now, this was in the very beginning even. 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily. I don't want you to forget that. I want you to know that that is the way the Lord's church was established. It was established daily, such as should be saved. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 2. We're going to stop here for this morning. But I pray that you found something to hold on to that will help you through the day and will even help you in growing stronger in the Lord and in his word, and to grow stronger in faith, believing that the word of God is true. We all know it is. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for these times that we can come together. Because Father, we are set also for daily worship, daily study of your word. Help us now, Father, to grow in strength of faith, to grow upright as your children to make heaven our home. And Father, for Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for them. We pray for them to have peace. We know they're not having much peace right now. We pray for them. And Father, we pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, and that they will come out from behind the law, that Mosaic law. Now, Father, this land in which we live, that's turned its back, walked away from everything that you have given them. And now, Father, it is in one big mess of evil due to several in our government that is evil and bringing evil upon this land and its people, and even some evil in some of our churches, Father. And we pray, Father, that you will remove those of evil from their offices and replace them with those that are yours, that are walking in righteousness, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves your church, your people, and this country that we live in, that had been blessed so greatly. Father, bring this land to repentance, and our government put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for all that is a part of this ministry and their families, watch over them. Keep them, Father. Keep them in your hand, making them well, Father, and keeping them safe throughout this day, and bring us back together again this evening, Father, and back into your word at 6 p.m. this evening. This is my prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I pray you have a great day. I'm going to have a busy one. I've got to leave for a while. Places to go. Things to do. So keep me in your prayers. Then I return home safe and be back with you this evening also. Now, have a great one. Bye-bye.